Happy Tuesday, everybody. This is Sarah Jessica, and this is Hot Shots on Air. Welcome back. Or if you're tuning in for the first time, this is my radio show where I talk to musicians, artists, and arts entertainment and like entertainment industry professionals about, you know, what it's like working within the industry. So tonight I'm hanging out with Kay Triggs, or Kevin Williamson. He's a Hamilton-based rapper, event promoter, and creator of the upcoming 905 Fest. You can find Kevin online at ktriggs905 and on all streaming services under ktriggs. So, hey, Kevin.
Hey, thanks again, Sarah, for having me on. I always appreciate your time.
Yeah, anytime, of course. I mean, you're a wonderful guest, and you do a lot for the city, so I love talking to you on here.
Yeah, I know it's been a few years, and I remember back in COVID when we first started communicating, and, you know, it's great that we've been able to build such a good relationship over the years, and I appreciate all of the opportunities to come on the show. And shout out to all the listeners out there who've been watching the show. You know, Sarah does great work, and, you know, every show I've listened to is always very original and interesting and jam-packed full of great information.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Of course.
And I guess just to give you a little bit of an introduction for anyone who's unfamiliar, how would you describe your sound and style as a musician?
Definitely. Well, for starters, I'm more of like a writer, and I like to tell stories with my music. And that comes from the inspiration of old school 90s hip hop. But that also is represented with the brand and the things I talk about, like community over competition and enforcing positivity with my songs and not portraying a negative stereotype or message for people to latch onto.
Beautiful, beautiful. And who would you say are your biggest musical influences?
Definitely like Tupac Shakur. You know, I'm a big fan of Tribe Called Quest, MF Doom, Mos Def, but Tupac and like Andre 3000 are two of my biggest influences. You know, I grew up listening to old school rap and like R&B in my house. That's what was played when I was young. So it's kind of like from a young age, I kind of gravitated toward that culture.
Cool, cool. And what would you say that you take from them? Like their sound and style, production, stage presence?
I would say what I take from them is like the aspect of, you know, telling a story and bringing a message that isn't necessarily the same every time. Like every song I've written and performed and released, they're all different in their own way. Like you've played some of them on your station, Level Up, Avery's Interlude, Larissa, and they're all relevant to my life and the experience as an artist. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I take from each artist that I've listened to over the years. Like even 50 Cent, I love 50 Cent, but he's like more of like a poppy rap artist. So, you know, I'm only going to listen to him when I'm in the mood to like jam out. But if I want to hear some like lyrical stuff, I'll sit down and listen to some Nas, or, you know, J. Cole is another more modern example.
Yeah, totally. And do you remember what you listened to as a kid? And do you feel as though those early influences have an impact on your current style?
Well, I liked a lot of like blues music, and like Frank Sinatra, and like Buddy Guy, Muddy Waters. But like that's also like B.B. King. And that's kind of the influence of, I think, soul and like the old school aspect of things and telling a story. Mm-hmm. But then listening to like N.W.A. and listening to like Cam'ron and Tupac and Biggie growing up, I think I took from the style of like the boom bap beats. But I've also, as an artist, I've tried to evolve and bring, you know, the new school and the old school together to find like a nice medium.
And what was the first time that you listened to a piece of music and you thought, wow, I wish I made that? I find that a lot of musicians get into music because they discover like a single or an album or maybe an entire artist who they really connect to. And they're like, wow, you know, that really speaks to me. I wish I wrote that myself. Did you have that?
Yeah. Well, one of the really big interesting things, I'm a really big fan of Eminem. And like the reason why I would say he's not one of my influences is because, I'm a very, very, very big fan of him, but I don't listen to his music as much because the song Till I Collapse was the first song when I was like a kid that I ever like remixed. I never like released it or anything, but like I was in my basement like rapping along to it and writing my own lyrics like over the beat. And like that inspired me to like, I was like, yeah, I want to make something like this. Like this is the energy and like the aggressiveness to it. Like I love the emotion behind it and like the almost the adversity that the song brings, and it's like the uplifting energy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that to me really like applies to my life experience too, so I can relate to that. And that's something that I like to bring in my music too, like my latest album that you wrote about last year, Mistakes. Yeah. You know, everyone makes mistakes, so I brought that to the light as a way to express my music.
Totally, yeah. And when were you introduced to playing music? Did you start on your vocals, like rapping? Did you start on an instrument? Did you start with beat making? How did that begin?
Well, I actually like started like writing like poetry and like songs when I was young, but I also like played the trumpet in like elementary school. So that was something that influenced me also, but mainly was the writing. Like I used to write poems and songs and short stories. Like I'm very creative writing. Like to write all types of different things and reading. So I think that that's immediately what drew me writing lyrics. And like, even if it's just like a cappella, creating stories that are told through words.
Cool. Cool. And are there any instruments that you don't currently play that you'd like to?
Yeah, I'd love to learn to play like a cello. That would be super cool.
That would
be a lot of instruments that I don't play. And like, it'd be really interesting to learn to play the flute or a violin.
Yeah.
You know, even the saxophone would be super cool.
Yeah.
You know, a good friend of mine, KP on sax, where we got a song we're working on together that's going to be coming out soon. I'll definitely be sharing that with you for the station. But we've been working on it for the last month or so. And, you know, it's really brilliant to watch a musician like that at work because we do two totally different things.
Yeah, definitely. Would you want to, if you end up learning one of those, would you want to add that into your music?
Maybe in some aspects, but I also find it's cool. Like, I would like to, rather instead of playing the saxophone myself and rapping along to my own song, it would be cool to have like Kristen Prince on sax on stage with me playing the beat while I rap, you know?
Totally.
That adds a more dynamic aspect to the performance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't want to take away from the aspect that some people are much more talented at what they do, and I'm good at what I do. So I can use that to create a better product overall.
Yeah.
And we bring our skills together.
Yeah. So you just graduated from a program, didn't you? From a school program, right?
Yes, ma'am. I did. Just last year, I started to attend Trevis for Entertainment Management, Trevis Arts Institute in Toronto, just at Yonge and Wellesley. So I wanted to, you know, I've been doing some events since 2019 into 2022, you know, the last few years consistently. But I wanted to get some background knowledge on the industry more. In terms of practical and theory.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to school and it was a year-long program. And I was able to get an internship through that as well with Mango Tree Music here in Hamilton with Deshaun St. Jones. You know, I really appreciate Deshaun, shout him out for the opportunity and all the teachers at Trevis. You know, if it wasn't for their understanding and assistance, you know, I don't know if I would have been able to do as well as I did, you know, because they understood that I'm not only in an event management course and an entertainment management course, I'm also doing events full time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're a busy guy.
So they could see that the knowledge that I was gaining was based upon what I took from it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's for anybody. You know, I finished my internship this past March. So after that was done, basically, I had been waiting for my diploma. So that's why, they sent it to me in the mail.
Yeah. And how was your time at Trevis?
It's a good school. Obviously, like, there's pros and cons to every situation. You know, there was some online learning, which was, again, I have no problem independent, like, working, which is no problem. And that's how I like to work. But there's a limited amount of knowledge that can be relayed and ingested through speaking, like, digested and through speaking on Zoom. I don't know. I find that learning on Zoom is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's not impossible, and it depends on the amount of effort you put in, but to capture students' attention for 8 hours in a day is just a little much over a screen.
Definitely.
I had no problem physically attending classes, but when I started going to school, there was still restrictions. So that was a challenge for me to overcome, definitely.
Yeah. What was the most important lesson that you took from studying at Trevis?
The most important lesson I took from studying at Trevis was definitely building relationships and communicating, like, business communications with my teachers and professionals that work that we worked with at the school and the staff, because the teachers that taught us are all professionals in the industry. So not only did I learn from them, but I also created a bigger network. And the same connections can be said for the other students, because they are all entertainment management students. And the school also has a film and audio program. So there's different courses that they offer and different programs for you to interact with those students and staff members. It gives you an even bigger network. And that was the main reason why I chose to even go to school. Like, overall in the big picture, like, theory is important, and getting some like supporting documentation to prove that shows you understand what you understand and kind of like legitimizes you. But the big thing was the experience and getting to create more relationships with industry professionals like myself.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And interning at Mango Tree, how was that?
Oh, it was fabulous. Sean is a very, you know, a very good mentor to me. You know, we speak often, and, you know, we're hopefully going to be doing some more work together in the near future. I know he's very busy. He knows I'm very busy, but he gave me every opportunity to succeed as a artist marketing intern. So basically my job was to reach out to radio stations on behalf of an artist that we are promoting. We're promoting at Mango Tree, and get them placement or interviews, get them on blogs, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And what do you feel as though you gained the most from your internship?
I think definitely, again, when in terms of, because I have a lot of ability to understand and listen, and I always want to learn more. But the thing is experience outweighs all the knowledge that you can possibly try to possess.
Mm-hmm.
So getting experience from someone that has 20 plus years of entertainment management experience and learning from them directly is a great asset and a great experience. Like, because through that period, Sean has become one of my mentors. And, you know, if I need to speak with someone or, you know, get an opinion from someone, he's someone I can go to. And, you know, he's has a different understanding than I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you study music or take music lessons before studying at Trevis?
No, I did like go to school, like, and take music class, like I was in music classes, but not like anything serious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I always thought it was interesting, because I never really gravitated toward, you know, actually pursuing music as a career until I realized how much I really loved being on stage and performing. You know,
because
the big thing about it is being an MC. Like, I love to get the crowd involved and get people energized, bring out a good performance. And recording and creating songs on record is very important too, but it's not the only part of what I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how, when you think back to when you started pursuing music, how did your family and friends react to that?
They were very supportive, you know? Obviously, when I first started, like actually rapping, like just like for fun, like in high school, me and my friends used to like battle rap, and that's kind of how I started like going from like writing poems and writing stories to actually like freestyling.
Mm-hmm.
But like when I actually decided to pursue it and I was taking it seriously, like getting in the studio, recording music, doing performances, going out to shows, because like a lot of artists approach me because I do a fair amount of events, and I get a lot of questions about, hey, can I be in a show? And that's cool. I have no problem giving people opportunities. But it's funny because when I was first looking for opportunities, the way I would do that is I would go out to an event, meet the artist there, talk to them, create a, like, communicate, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then you develop that relationship. And then you can go out to more events, and then suddenly maybe someone offers you a chance to grab the mic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's literally what happened for me. Someone was just like, hey, you want to rap? And I was like, yeah, I'm down. And they saw me rap, and they're like, yo, you want to, like, perform in our next show?
Cool.
So, and that was El Sancho MC. You might know El Sancho. He's been around for a while in the city.
Yeah, I believe I do.
He does those H3O jams at the Doors Pub. He has had one a couple weeks ago. I was actually supposed to perform in it, but unfortunately I had some personal issues I had to deal with at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And, growing up in Hamilton, you know, because you're Hamilton born and bred, what was the music scene like when you were first entering it, and how would you compare it to nowadays?
Well, I think like when I first entered, it was only like 2018, and like people at the same time, like, and this goes for a lot of things. Like, it's about like showing consistency and putting in the effort. You know, people respected that I was putting out music and they gave it a chance to listen to it. But I think now, you know, I've cemented myself in more of a position where we've created like a culture kind of with like the different groups of people and hip hop artists, especially like when I was a little younger and first coming into like hip hop, there was only a few guys that were really doing a lot of different stuff consistently that I knew about. And then suddenly over the last couple of years after COVID, now that things are kind of passing, it ramped right back up. You know, like I remember 2018 was when I met LT the Monk, and, you know, I remember doing a show with him at Casbah. And that was super cool. But that was like, and I met Boris back then too as well. And we did a show at my neighborhood bar and grill up on a concession. That was my first ever show, the first ever Underground Vibes event too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's, thinking back, like, you know, this year we had the fifth Underground Vibes event in 5 years. So.
Wow. Wow, well, congrats.
Yeah, I was very happy to see that. You know, I've been able to continue this Underground Vibes trend of bringing, you know, fresh new names to the stage and giving people opportunities to perform and getting, like, getting the promoting the community and the culture of hip-hop in Hamilton.
Mm-hmm, 100%. And what do you think could be improved about the Hamilton music scene right now?
I don't think it's really my place to judge or say who could be improved or what could be improved. I think it's just important to understand community over competition. And that's all I can say about that.
Sure. Great response. And who are some talented local artists that you think deserve more spotlight?
Oh, everybody deserves more spotlight. Like, you know, there's lots of great artists in the city that I know and I've worked with. You know, I've had the pleasure to work with, like I said, LT the Monk, Buddha the Abuser, Boris Music. I've had the pleasure to work with FLCN, Falcon the Artist. You know, I've had the pleasure to work with Truth. A lot of these guys are on some of my songs. I've had the pleasure to work with Gloomy. You know, these guys all deserve more shine. Smoothie Lou, everybody's out here putting in work, putting out music, and doing their craft to the best of their ability. And I shout out all those people because not only have I been on tracks with them, they've, you know, like come out to events and supported me and been part of shows too. You know, and I want to shout out all those guys. And there's lots of people, other people putting out music in the city too. You know, and I couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for my team. You know My Music created the beat for Hometown, and he created the beats for Mistakes, as well as Bodhi Zaffa. Because Design Matters, who does all my visuals for events and like all the Freedom Speech events. You know, these guys are putting in the work, and sometimes people don't consider that because they do a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Mason Mascor at Sound of the North Studios, you know. And also, all my friends and supporters, you know, people that come to shows, share the posts, like the posts, put comments down, you know, doesn't happen without all those people either. So they deserve more shine as well.
And if you could collaborate with any musician, so you can totally go big on this one, who would you choose?
Oh, wow. That's crazy. I mean, I'm a big fan of Drake, like just modernly. Like, I do like Drake, and I would love to collab with Drake. But to be honest, I'd probably have to pick J. Cole of all. Like, if I could have anybody I want, totally J. Cole, yeah.
Cool. And, you know, you've done some local collaborations, but if there's anyone local who you could collaborate with, who would you choose?
Oh, well, yeah, I've done so many collaborations, too. Like, even that song Larissa is a collaboration with Alyssa EBM Music. She's such a talented singer. She deserves more shine, you know? She's amazing, you know? It's so great to see all this talent in my city. And, you know, even Triple X, he's from Toronto, but he came to my festival last year and did a performance. He's often in Hamilton doing performances, actually. And we have a song called Elevate that we released earlier this year. I actually jumped on his track. But that's a great track, too. And I was super excited about that. Shouts out to Triple X. But some other artists that I'd love to work with, and actually an artist that I got to work with this year, is Park from CC. The song we worked on hasn't come out yet. But, you know, I'm super excited for that song to come out. And James Favron, too. You know, him and I have something in the pipe, and that's super cool. Because, you know, I've I love working with new people and pushing my limitations in terms of what I'm capable of as an artist.
Totally, yeah. They're both very talented artists. I'm familiar with both, so that's really exciting.
Yeah, and like, you know, I'm super positive in terms of looking forward to doing more work with different artists and, you know, bringing more features on my songs too. You know, I have a couple features on this new project that I'm releasing later this year. And it's, I have a female vocalist on one song, and I have a rap feature with Smoothie Lou as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it should be exciting.
Yeah. Is there anyone local that you haven't had the chance to work on a project with yet that you'd love to?
You know, off the top of my head, you know, I had a chance to work with Flozes on one of his songs from his latest project, but I'd like to get Flozes on one of my songs. You know, these are something when people reach out to you and get you on their song, you know, that's something you want to do as an artist. You want to return that professionalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something I'm looking forward to doing. You know, and there's lots of artists that if I could think off the top of my head, you know, that I would like to work with. You know, Pure Love is someone I'd like to work with. You know, him and I don't have anything together. There's other artists I'd really like to work with in the city, you know, in terms of that maybe aren't directly related to the hip hop scene. You know, my boy Grind Abrasion is a techno DJ, and he also cooks up hip hop beats. So shouts out to Grind Abrasion. He's always doing events. You know, I'd love to work with him on something. We haven't put out something together since last year. We did the Freedom Speech Cypher, but that was like a whole group of us. I did a cypher with a group of different artists, which I thought was a great way to express the community over competition aspect of what I do.
Totally, totally. And so we're going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second and play everyone a single from K-Triggs. Hometown is a single about pride for the city you grew up in and hoping it can rise to success along with you.
Yeah, K-Triggs. This one's for the 9-0. Just a foot in the door, gotta get my arm and leg in. Every bar I drop a bomb, so they call it Armageddon. It's coming for the top, that's why all these people sweating. The life of the party, when it had it, crashed the wedding. Forever hold your peace, cause I'm just taking all the credit. The flavor so original, a lot of rap synthetic. Lately in my bag, so I stay unapologetic. Never sugarcoat, hey, you can call them diabetic. Author with that authenticity. Talk about an underdog, well, I'm the epitome. An itch you can't scratch, said there's no getting rid of me. I was born a player, don't belong in the little league. It's an anthem for a starving artist. From the 9 is where my heart is. Our team's the cream of the crop, now it's time for the harvest. Pink set it to 11, threw the rule book in the garbage. Bet I come for blood and I don't spark it. Can't tell you where you're headed if you don't know where it started. Got a dark side, that's some shit I learned to harness. In everyday battle, we all going through the hardship. An age-old debate, people ask who go the hardest. I got love for all of y'all, still plan to go the farthest. Think he out of pocket, had to say the truth regardless. This was for my culture, all my enemies and partners. City held its breath while I was putting in the hard work. Hometown full of talent, so here's some names I'll start with. Yeah, it's K-Triggs, Young Vinny, LT. Kid lifted, apart from CC. Know the same goes for Buddha Cools, West Gray, J. Rose, Finn Sizzy, Smoothie. Flows is gloomy, I said your name, so don't sue me. Tyrex, Cody James, FLCN and Truth. It's high time we address the elephant in the room. Said it's my city, yeah, that ain't nothing new. Forrest, Beverly, and Vulcan. This a competition, y'all can feel free to jump in. We call the hammer home, and it's a place of corruption. Said I'm getting mine, but that's a different discussion. He the playboy who got a taste for destruction. Anybody got a problem, we can get into something. Get the bar set high, I would say you to up it. I don't tell tall tales, never claim to be tucking. Just keep clocking in the hours, he the one to keep up with. Clocking, took a couple falls, and still I stuck the landing. Can't be glowing up when I was acting underhanded. Make my own luck, so now they calling me a gambit. Etch my name in stone like one of them commandments. Etch. K-Triggs. No mind.
Yeah. shout out Massacre, sound of the north. Shout out everybody in the 9-0, go get yours.
For anybody just joining us, this is Hot Shots on Air. I'm Sarah Jessica, and I'm speaking with the Hamilton-based hip-hop artist, event promoter, and creator of the upcoming 905 Fest, K-Trix. We just came back from playing Hometown, a single of yours, Kevin. How long did it take to write that song?
That song, actually, is interesting that you asked, because it was actually a rather fast, like, written song in terms of the creation of the idea. You know, my producer, Know My Music, shout him out. He started creating the guitar riff like that. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, cool. And he just kind of kept messing around with it. And we got that drum kick in, which I really like how kind of it's really like funky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what drew me to it. Like almost it has like a rock, but hip hop funk kind of feel.
Yeah.
Totally. And I wanted to make like an anthem for the city, but something that wasn't about the hook. Something that possessed the lyrics and like some pizzazz and something for shock and awe, because I had just released Mistakes and, you know, Nomai just came up with the riff and I was like, that's it, bro. And I just started going in. I think it took me like maybe an hour to like write most of the song. And then I just molded the last kind of the bars. Like when I mention people's names, it's not all in like a direct order. You know, there's some filler in between. And like there's some ways to transition between the different names that I use in the song.
Totally. And how did you go about writing those lyrics, and why are they so important to you?
I just think like the whole idea of like hometown and the fact that like I'm standing in front of the Hamilton sign and like I'm always talking about the 905 in my music and in my events. So I feel like if I'm going to make something that's going to represent it, I really had to go for broke in a sense, go as hard as I could and bring something that was really going to be edgy. Like, the lyrics are really edgy. You know, I'm not cursing or, you know, calling anybody out, but I'm very much putting a challenge forward. Like, yes, it's community over competition, but there's some let's see some competition kind of.
Yeah.
And it was great because Flozus, Smoothie Lou, Gloomy, ADK, Young Vinny, Jalen Rose, a bunch of those guys actually went out of their way to remix Hometown and tag me and post it on Instagram last year, which was super cool. I didn't expect that at all.
Oh, nice. That's amazing. Yeah, some of that community over competition you're talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And why do you think it's so important to name drop these local musicians specifically?
Well, because those are my peers. They're not, it's not a, it's a, it's as much of a salute as it is a challenge, if that makes sense. It's as much of a salute as it is a challenge, because I'm acknowledging that, you know, they're putting in, everyone's working and everyone's doing the best they can, but everyone's going a different direction. And they're going to go their own way. And that's kind of what I'm acknowledging. But I'm also stating all these names like K-Trix, Young Vinny, LT, Kid Lefted, Harper, CC, Notice Ain't Ghost, Buddha Cools, Wes Gray, J Rose, Fins, Sizzy Smoothie, Flows is Gloomy, Said Your Name, Don't Sue Me, Tyrex, Cody James, FLCN, Truth, Boris, Bebel, Bunkin. Those are a whole bunch of different artists that I just name in the song, because they're all artists in my city that are putting in work. And they're busy. They're all doing stuff. They're all doing shows. They're all releasing music. And they're not the only ones. You know, I just couldn't say 100 names in a song, so I had to kind of, be a little choosy.
Oh, totally, yeah. You wouldn't want the single to be like 20 minutes long.
Well, that's it too, and it had to be something that was going to be edgy, because now people are like, oh, well, why didn't I get a mention, you know?
For sure.
Or why did you get mentioned, you know? And that was something that, like, Smoothie Lou mentioned on his freestyle. He's like, you know, keep my name out of your mouth kind of deal. Obviously, he's just joking, but, you know, it was cool to see everybody come back at it with their own style, you know?
Totally. And how was that song recorded, and who produced it?
Know My Music produced it. Joshua Pinkney, he does all the production for most of my songs, and we recorded at Sound of the North Studios with Mason Massacre, which is the place where I've recorded a lot of my music in the past. Mason's a great engineer, very talented at what he does, and Nomai is a fabulous musician. He's been a guitarist for over like 15 years. So, you know, make sure to check out Know My Music online. Guy has some crazy beats of all different varieties. If anyone out there is an artist looking for beats.
Cool, cool. And what do you hope your listeners will take away from that single?
I hope they'll take away that, like, it's about the hometown and it's about community over competition, as much as it is about, you know, being edgy and pushing the limits of what you're capable of. It's about understanding and being able to check your ego at the door, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, because, you know, in that song, I'm like, before I say everybody's names, I'm like, hometown full of talent, but here's some names I'll start with. Like, basically saying the whole city's got talent, but I'll just start with a few.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not even, like, I wasn't even saying that these are the only guys. I was just saying there's a whole bunch of talent. So here's a few. I'll give you some examples, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious, do you have a favorite single of yours?
Definitely Hometown. That's like my favorite song to perform. Like, I love getting on stage and performing Hometown. It's not really like the best club song, but it's my favorite song to like be outside doing. And I notice like a lot of people, I get a good reaction from it too.
Cool. Do you do any?
Because of how much I enjoy performing it. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Do you do anything special on stage for it?
Sometimes I will bring Nomai Music, the guitarist, out, and he'll play the guitar part section of the song.
That's cool. That's cool.
And then he'll also do the solo at the end. I'm not sure if you listened past like the last like 20 seconds or so.
Yeah.
At the end of the song, Nomai plays a great solo. It's so good.
Amazing. And what's that like to have somebody else on stage with you? Do you prefer that, to sort of have that group performance?
It kind of gives a more dynamic performance for the experience for the audience when you have a guitarist out there with you, like playing mm-hmm. alongside you, because then you kind of feed off each other's energy. But also, you know, those are situations where you have to read the room and read the event that's taking place and see the crowd, because maybe that's not the kind of song that they're really going to feel that night.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, as an artist, I have an arsenal of different songs that are designed for performances based on the environment and the type of audience I'm expecting. Like, you know, I have a show at Zen on Thursday this week. It's more of like an underground club. You know, there's going to be performances by Fly Guy Ritchie, Wes Gray, Milo Mills, Smoothie Lou, myself, Julius Wilson, Deems will be hosting, Beanie will be DJing, so that'll be more of like a hype kind of music event. There'll be lots of, you know, jamming out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Lots of more like new school beats and, you know, heavy bass.
Amazing. And so that's going to be this Thursday, the 11th?
Yes, ma'am, at Zen Lounge on John Street. Definitely doors open at 9:30.
Amazing. Everybody go check that out.
The tickets are $15 at the door, $15 advance, sorry, and $20 at the door.
Okay, okay, okay. Awesome. And you have 905 Fest coming up.
Yes, and that's what I'm here to talk about. That's the big thing is the festival. You know, this is the third festival, the second one in a row. You know, I know you got to come out to last year's festival, which was super cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how was your experience?
It was great. Yeah. Right after COVID, you know, I know there was, you know, obviously there must have been a ton of issues running into setting that up and finding vendors and finding, you know, participants and volunteers and everything. Right. Like that's so, you know, it's very difficult to start planning those events right after COVID. Yeah, like I can't imagine how much work went into that, but I'm so happy to see that it returned, and to see the turnout. It was super cool, and I'm excited for this year's. What weekend is that?
That's the final weekend in August, 3 Sundays from now, Sunday, August 28th, at Woodlands Park on Barton Street in Hamilton, Ontario. The park, the events, festivities will begin at 11 a.m. and will end before 7 p.m., and we'll have some live performances between 12 p.m. to 5. So it'll be a really busy day. We're going to have lots of vendors from all over the city. We're going to have merchandise. There'll be food, like Cowabunga Pizzeria is sponsoring, and they're going to be bringing some pizzas down. There'll be information booths available, like the Hamilton Music Collective will also be there. They will be having their DJ class. They'll be promoting it because they have a young kids DJ class that kids can get into if they're interested. So their DJ will be there, you know, showing off some of his skills and advertising the class.
Cool, cool.
And it'll be, sorry.
That's okay. Is there an entrance fee?
No, it's a free community event, but we will be accepting non-perishable donations for Living Rock Youth Services. So I talked with Living Rock about this because I want to give back to the community. It's just what we did last year. So I thought it would be good to follow up with the same kind of thing. You know, raise more non-perishables, support the community in the city, especially in the downtown core, you know, and we have a lot more sponsors this year and people involved. So I know the event is going to go off without a hitch. You know, I'm very excited for what people are going to see. We're going to have prizes to give away. A couple local artists will be running a basketball game for kids to compete and play in, as well as we're going to have refreshments available, which will be free. You know, we're just going to be giving some of these things away, water, the pizza. You know, I want to find some way to involve the community and get people out. I know it's going to be hot Sunday, but it's the last Sunday of the summer, you know, before September back to school. So, you know, I want to get people involved and bring as many individuals who are part of the community as possible mm-hmm. into the event. And that's what I've been doing. You know, we're looking at over 15 vendors at this point, and I have more than 10 performers as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we will also have prize giveaways. So the Hamilton Music Collective has graciously donated an electric guitar and an amp, which we will be auctioning off. We're going to have raffle tickets available. There's lots of other prizes, too, that we will have, because we'll have different vendors from, you know, merchandising to information booths to also artists like paintings by Becca or Sadly Sierra, who will also be there.
Amazing. Amazing. I'm really excited about it. And you've been running this festival for, you know, since like 2019. So you've done three
yes.
of them now. This is the third that's coming up. And where did the original idea come from?
Well, the original idea came from the fact that, like, I realized that if I'm going to do something that, you know, talks about, encouraging the culture and promoting the city, and, you know, I really want to represent that. I thought that that was a great way to do something that gives back to the community I grew up in. So, like, mm-hmm. I went to Kath Weaver Elementary. I went to Stanford. I used to hang out at Pinky Lewis. I used to run around Woodlands Park as a kid. So, to be able to do something in the area that I grew up in, and, like, to have people in the community where I grew up in be able to take part in that, I think that's the greatest feeling in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as I, like, right now, it's more of a fringe festival, and I really am limited with what my capabilities are. But
yeah.
this year, I will have a information booth about 905 Fest available, and we're going to have some pamphlets, some handouts for people to get involved if they want to be a part of the 905 Fest committee. Because now I'm getting to the point where there's so much work to do for the festival that I need to bring some more individuals into the fold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, good for you. That I love to see that expanding and to see, you know, yeah, this information you're providing about it. And, like, I'm loving seeing it grow.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. You know, and I appreciate all the support over the years. You know, if it wasn't for the community standing behind me, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. And that's a big part of it. You know, everybody out there who listens and watches and takes part in these events, they come out and they support and they are there all the time. And that's, without that, nothing that we're doing right now is possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how was planning this year's festival different from, let's say, last year's?
Well, last year there was a lot more COVID protocols that I had to abide by. Plus, I wasn't able to, you know, guarantee my permit and everything
mm-hmm.
until later in the year due to COVID restrictions.
Yeah.
So this year was actually a lot easier on me because I started planning months ahead. But also, there's a lot more work that had to go into this festival because I had so much more time. So now that we're getting closer to crunch time, you know, I'm making sure all my T's are crossed and my I's are dotted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how long is the general planning process?
Well, last year I planned my festival in a month.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that's rushed, though. That's super rushed, and
yeah.
on my part, that's not good. So this year, I gave myself 8 months.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, so as you can see, you'll see the improvements. You know, this year, we're going to have a lot more. I'm not going to drop the ball on everybody just yet, just because I want it to be kind of a surprise. But
mm-hmm.
you've already heard about kind of the changes and things that are going to be happening. So there's a lot more to come.
Yeah, that's super exciting. And were there any major hurdles planning this year's?
No, not really.
Okay.
I was able to secure some funding from the city, which was super great. Now that I've been doing this event for a few years, you know, I'm hoping I can really get them to get behind me.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to say I appreciate the people at the city for helping me out there and giving me a small grant towards the festival. So that really helps me and like the sponsors that have all donated to the event and are being involved in the event. They're a big part of that too. You know, they help contribute in other ways and other things that maybe I necessarily couldn't get my hands on. You know, Logan McQuaid is providing almost $10,000 worth of electrical equipment for us to set up and, wow, you know, have to, for our live performance. Yeah, it's going to be fabulous. I'm super, super excited.
Amazing. How do you typically go about marketing 905 Fest?
Like when I'm promoting it, like for like getting people involved or when I'm promoting it to the public?
Both.
I keep it pretty much like pretty nonchalant, and I try not to make it too serious because it is a free event and it's open to anybody. So it's, you know, just I try to be, you know, get people knowing about the aspect of the charity and the fact that we're fundraising, because that's a big part of it. You know, that's the goal at the end of the day, is to gain awareness for the community, for organizations in the community. Like we're going to have SOPEN, S-O-P-E-N, will be setting up at our event on August 28th at 905 Fest. And that is the Student Overdose Prevention Network. So these different community services and community members all coming out and being a part of it helps to creating a more comfortable environment for people to gain awareness and get assistance or ask questions that maybe they might not normally ask.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And who can we look forward to seeing at this year's 905 Fest?
For performing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, definitely. I have a lot of, I've kind of added some hip-hop acts this year. Mm-hmm. I've added Tariq Funk. He's going to be in the lineup. Slur is in the lineup this year. We're also going to have Emma Brown Music. She's going to be in the lineup. Kristen Prince will be returning. Allison Daz will be returning. And that's some notable names I could tell you. We're also going to have Remori, who is another hip-hop artist in the city. World Peace, who does some really cool hip-hop, but live instrumentation as well. So that's going to be really cool. And I will also be doing a performance later on in the afternoon.
Cool, cool.
And as well as hosting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you mentioned that you're going to have some visual artists there as well. Could you list those again?
Yes, yes. So we'll be having paintings by Becca, as well as Sadly Sierra, who will also be there. And they will be showcasing their different parts of their craft. You know, Sadly Sierra has graciously donated a goblin painting that she made. So that will be available and we can raffle that off. And a lucky person will get to go home with that. And paintings by Becca has actually painted a logo of the 905 Fest. So someone will be able to take a souvenir home if they enter the raffle and win the prize.
Amazing. Are they going to have like their own little booths where they're selling their art?
Yes, ma'am.
Cool. Alrighty.
And to anybody else listening, right now the deadline is August 14th to reach out to me at KTriggs905 or at Freedom Speech Entertainment on Instagram. And if you're interested in setting up a booth and being involved, I would love to talk to anybody. If you're a visual artist, if you're a merchandiser, if you're a community member, whatever it is you do.
There we go. Is there a certain criteria you're looking for from those people?
Yeah, there is. We're looking for anybody who has like a product and can provide their own table, but also the requirement for all vendors is they can obviously make money off of their booth, but I require a donation of some sort that has monetary value. So anything that I could put in my raffle or give away or, you know, something like that is the way I do it, because then it's like I'm not necessarily having to charge money, but mm-hmm. I can still get something that I can give away to the community and it goes back into the festival.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then if they aren't willing to donate something, I do have a fee of $50, but that's only in the case where they're not willing to make a donation.
Okay. Okay. Sounds fair. And you said in terms of refreshments, most of those are free?
Yeah, we're going to have some. There's going to be some booths set up of individual merchandisers that might be offering some goodies, like wrapped goodies for at cost. But I will be providing, because of the sponsorship through Cowabunga Pizza, I'll be giving away pizza on a first-come, first-served basis around like 2 p.m.
Perfect, perfect. And what do you hope to accomplish at this year's fest?
I hope we can bring more awareness to the community and for the youth. You know, the city of Hamilton youth, I want to say special thanks to Jesse Williamson. He had our flyer in the Youth of the City newsletter, you know, so hopefully we'll be able to bring out some more youth people and get them involved, because that's what this is about. It's about reaching the youth and also giving back to Living Rock. So I hope we can raise some more awareness for Living Rock and get some more youth involved at the festival and get them understanding what it is, you know, hip hop is all about in the city of Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you hope to accomplish maybe next year? What kind of steps do you hope that you'll be able to take between now and then?
Well, for next year, you know, I have a short-term plan, which is to create a committee. So my goal is to hopefully have a committee where I can meet, you know, with these people, group of people. I have a few people I've already spoken with that that are very interested in being a part of the committee. So once I've created my committee, hoping that we can meet once a month or once every 3 months over Zoom and, you know, all talk about and brainstorm ideas on how to plan the festival and execute it and make it even better. There's only so much one man can accomplish.
Oh yeah.
On his own, like, and I know that sounds bad because it's almost like I'm selling myself short when I put in a lot of work and I created something very original that most people couldn't think about doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it on my own for the most part. Like, I have had lots of help from my family and friends, but the idea and, you know, putting the actions into making it happen was very much my brainchild.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you're such a hard worker and you do so much. I can't imagine, you know, what a whole committee could accomplish.
Well, and that's right. And putting me in a position where I can delegate and then I can take tasks that I think are the most important and make sure that they're handled to a specific degree and then delegate them on to people that can handle that type of responsibility. Mm-hmm. But it's also about working and finding the right people to put us in that, like, put the festival in that position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finding people within the community that not only have something to offer, but are interested in being involved in something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a free thing. It would be people donating their time.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any people that are, you know, potential committee members right now?
100%. Because Brody at Because Design Matters, who does all my visuals.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen Prince, she sponsored the festival this year. She does a lot of musical work, but she's also very talented in other aspects in terms of live sound because she performs a lot. So Kristen is a good friend of mine, and she's always helping out with the events and taking part in the festival. So, you know, she's someone that's going to be on our committee. And then also I have some other people in mind, like Lisa LaRocca, who works at the Sonic Onion, is also LT the Monk's manager. You know, I've been speaking to her about possibly getting her involved. And then also, you know, I would like to hopefully get some other artists involved, like hip-hop artists maybe from the city, to provide an outside perspective into, like, bringing more hip-hop into 905 Fest, because I'd like to truly, next year, in the next few years, I'd like to make it an entirely hip-hop festival.
Cool.
Like, I want 905 Fest to be the home of Hamilton hip-hop that encourages the youth to participate and be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what do you hope festival goers will take away from the event once they leave?
I hope they will take away and learn from that you can have assistance or help if that's ever needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the city has lots of programs and lots of things available to help youth. And, you know, you're not helpless if you are willing to ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'll have some, I'm hopefully having a counselor from Ward 3 come and speak about, you know, some community initiatives that will be taking place during the afternoon. And she'll be there checking out the festival. So I'm excited for that as well.
Amazing. Cool. And I'm just going to jump back into your music for a second.
Yes.
How have you seen your style evolve since you first began creating?
I definitely see my style, like, changing a little bit in terms of, like, being less focused on boom bap beats and trying to bridge more into, you know, new school drums or old school samples with new school drums, and kind of something that brings some flavor and variety to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it isn't just kind of the same, like, boom bap style, because it shows my versatility. Like, doing that song with Alyssa DVM, that's called Larissa, you know, it's very more relaxed and chill. You know, there's vocals behind me. The song with Gloomy, you know, it's very more like darker, and, you know, the mood is different. But the message still, like, portrays a similar continuity to my brand and my belief as an artist. Like, with Gloomy, that's song 13. The hook is like, since 13, I was going on 30. And that's kind of like a perspective I've had for years. Like, I always felt like that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And how do you hope to see your sound evolve as you grow in the future?
I hope to see my sound evolve, you know, as I grow, because I want to bring more aspects into my style. You know, maybe, you know, learn to do a little more like singing and vocalizing and change up my vocal patterns a little bit so I can create more versatile flows and deliveries. And, you know, like, I've done some songs with Vinny A, you know, where he has me hop on and do some auto-tune kind of singing. And not that that's totally my style, but it's cool to learn and incorporate different things and, you know, give yourself diversity and bring new flavors to the listeners. Like, Hometown is a great example of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's very different from Level Up.
Yeah, very much so. And are there any other forms of art that you've wanted to dip your toes into, but you haven't yet?
Yeah, actually, like, I wanted to dip my toes into doing some, like, more, like, painting. I did some painting during COVID.
Cool.
And I was doing some painting and some sewing and some, like, making of custom clothes. And, like, I enjoy it. It's kind of relaxing. So that's something I wanted to kind of participate a little more in.
Yeah.
But I'm just not, like, super talented at it, but you don't learn something overnight, right? Like, I didn't learn to freestyle overnight. I didn't learn to write songs overnight. It's just a matter of doing the task.
Yeah.
And it's cool because it kind of takes your brain to a different place creatively.
Sure, yeah. Oh, no, everything takes practice. And how would you describe the style of the types of paintings you would do?
Pardon, sorry?
That's okay. Yeah, how would you describe the style of the types of paintings you did?
I was just doing, like, kind of some, like, freedom of speech-related paintings, like, some stuff that, you know, represents my brand and, like, K-Triggs, you know, things that I could kind of copy off of directly, you know, and it's cool because, you know, I appreciate, it was a good opportunity to express myself in a different way as an artist. And as, like, even though I'm a hip hop rapper, you know, I can still do different art related things. Like, even the creating and designing of custom clothes, you know, I took some acrylic paint and I painted these pants and made them all, like, you know, put, like, symbolism on them and, you know, drip blood on them with, like, red acrylic paint. So I just was kind of being creative and messing around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. And where do you hope to see yourself in 5 years?
It's a really good question. You know, and honestly, in 5 years, I hope that, well, I know. It's not that I hope, I know, because hope is not the way you want to answer the question, because you want to manifest these things.
Mm-hmm.
I know that in the next 5 years, I will be in a position to be more secure in a sense of my business that I've created, Freedom of Speech Entertainment, the event company. And, you know, I want to be doing larger events. I've been doing a lot of small events consistently, but I want to be doing, like, maybe one event a month, but a huge event where there's, like, 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or, like, a few hundred people, you know, and that's a big goal. That's a lofty goal to, like, measure to, but there's a way to get there, and I'll figure that out.
Oh, I'm sure you will. I'm confident.
I appreciate the vote of confidence, Sarah, always.
No problem. And what can we look forward to seeing from you in the near future?
Definitely more events and music. I'm definitely going to be putting out some music. The reason why I haven't put out any music, and I hope all my listeners out there that have tuned in can understand this, you know, I'm very picky in terms of when I drop a song. I'm not just going to drop a song to have it out there. You know, every song has to have a reason to be there, and, like, I have a method of promoting and delivering the song to the listeners.
Sure.
And that's the expectation that I've created when I drop music. I don't just drop music randomly. Mm-hmm. I have a bunch of songs waiting. You know, I've done some features this year on other people's tracks, but the reason why I've kept everything back is because I've been so busy with all these events. You wouldn't have time to promote my, I wouldn't have time to promote my song properly because I'm sitting on here and I have 5 different events coming up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
3-4 different events. So then, like, oh, I'm going to mention a song. You're going to get lost because there's so many things I'm doing.
Yeah. No, you're a busy guy.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I had to decide what was best for the brand and for the events that I've been doing. To some, like, you know, I think this year I've done 12 shows, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. And yeah, you're a very intentional person when you're dropping a song, right?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's important. And well, thank you so much, Kevin, for joining me tonight. This was really fun.
Oh, always. guys. I really appreciate your time, Sarah, and, you know, it's great to speak with you. I really like being on the show. Any opportunity I have, I know you always bring me on, you know, and it's been great over the last few years, you know, getting to see one another grow as professionals in the industry.
100%. And do you want to just plug when 905 Fest is again, just for everybody listening?
Totally. For everybody listening, I'll be hosting 905 Fest on Sunday, August 28th, 2022 at Woodlands Park on Barton Street East in Hamilton, Ontario from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's free to get in. Just show up at the park and come hang out. We'll have basketball. We'll have music. We'll have good times.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And thank you so much, Kevin.
Thank you so much again, Sarah, and have a great rest of your evening.
Yeah, you too. Everybody listen. Yeah. You can find Kevin online at KTriggs905 and on all streaming services under KTriggs. And just before we head out, we're going to wrap up this episode with another single from Kevin. Level Up is an aspirational single about chasing your dreams in the city you love.
Hey guys, I'm KTriggs, and you're listening to Hot Shots on Air at Indie 101.5.
Every verse he dropped, that's a keepsake. Ask my sister how she keeps faith. Run my race, be a peak shape. All the way from Mac down to Eastgate. Long way to go with my feet, ache. Told the fam I got a beat break. Cause if time is money, then I'm a cheapskate. Soon rappers move from my release date. Took 10 months trying to beat the case. These rhymes and pies never be replaced. Set the city on fire, let it gain the waste. Step a little black dress, you got an angel face. At night I lay awake, wonder what awaits. Every double entendre get double take. But you know about the struggle and it's no debate.
I had a level of, see me at him.
Yeah.
Where did these rappers ain't nobody checking
them.
No way about it, we bring in the accident.
Bring it.
Get in my way, you get so many accidents.
Never no hero, I could be your nemesis. Live in your head and I don't pay a cent of it. Origin story like that book of Genesis. Now all the shorties want friendship and benefits. I got boss, face, hoes, and a feminist. Give him a second when I'm feeling generous. My generation, I've been a degenerate. Call him a menace who took his own medicine. I was a rookie student, still city veteran. Always a rebel and that was so evident. Mostly a bop is where I plan to settle in. Top of the class and I'm just getting better. All those who doubted now see me ahead of him. I'm the first person I need to be better than.
I'm the first person I need to be better than.
I had to level up, see me ahead of him. Words of these rappers ain't nobody checking us. Nobody about it, we bringing the exodus. Get in my way, you get shown where the exit is. I had to level up, see me ahead of them. Words of these rappers ain't nobody checking us. Nobody about it, we bringing the exodus. Get in my way, you get shown where the exit is.
Home for alternative.
Only on Indie 101.5 CIOI.